Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I want to say, first off, thank you for being with me today. My smart person is Ryan Rieger. He works with his wife, Melanie. They have been making a full-time income online since 2008. He loves to see entrepreneurs create multiple streams of income, and he does that through his books and courses. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Rob, thank you so much. It's my honor and glad to be here.
Absolutely. I'm just going to get this right out of the way, okay? Because you're from the Dallas area. Does that mean that you're a Cowboys fan?
You know what? It's hard to know. I'm not, because I'm from Indiana originally. Okay. Grew up a Colts fan, Peyton Manning, love Peyton Manning. And so when I moved down here, I mean, if somebody says, do you watch? I haven't watched an NFL game in a few years. So no, I can't say that I'm a Cowboys fan.
Right. What? Okay. Don't say that as though it's just a bad thing.
I know. Okay? That's probably for you. That's a good thing, right?
So I grew up in Philadelphia, and Dallas is in the Eagles division. And I think that in the NFC East, all of the teams that aren't the Cowboys view the Cowboys as their biggest rival.
Oh, for sure.
And so also moved to Pittsburgh, and in Pittsburgh, you know, all of the Steelers fans, they say about Pittsburgh that Pittsburgh is I think they say it's a football town with a drinking problem, or sometimes they switch it around and it's a drinking town with a football problem. I'm not sure.
Oh my gosh.
Both descriptions are somewhat accurate of what goes on here in Pittsburgh. But in Pittsburgh, there are three teams that everyone roots for. Okay. You root for the Steelers, and then you root for whoever is playing against the Patriots and whoever's playing against the Cowboys. So,
Yep. Wonderful. I understand that. Growing up in Indiana, we hated the Patriots too.
It's like the Patriots are the Cowboys of the AFC or something. So,
I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Although, you know, it's the problem of success. You don't dislike teams that aren't good and aren't successful.
That's true.
Anyway, speaking of success, how's that for a segue? Let's talk a little bit. Let's get your backstory as to you started doing business online in 2008. And you started doing it full time since 2008. Did you, was it a immediate transition, or was there a transition that started before that? Or how did your move to being online full time work?
Yeah. So I was up in Indiana working a political campaign, that 2008 election. We lost that. So it was an abrupt loss of jobs since the campaign ended and we lost. So I knew two things were certain in my life. I was moving to Texas because my wife's from here, moving to Texas to get married to my wife. And I had no idea how I was going to support her. And so that's when it was an immediate jump into full-time income. Now, it doesn't mean right off the bat it was full-time income. But it was full-time. Full-time work started off to be not full-time income for the first several months. But 2009 was a really good year for us.
Excellent. So what kind of work are you doing online?
Yeah, well, it's totally different than what it looked like in 2008. Then we were selling furniture on Craigslist, buying wholesale furniture, selling it to folks on Craigslist. We'd have people come to the house, or I'd deliver it all over the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We haven't sold furniture in several years now. Our business has pivoted, I'm sure, as some of your guests will talk about, like things change, interest change. A business may close for whatever reason, and you have to make a decision what to do. So right now I have membership communities. I teach people how to make money online. One of them specifically is Amazon. So I have a group called Amazon Legends, where we teach people how to build a business on Amazon. And so most of my income now, I still sell on Amazon, still sell on e-commerce, but the majority of my income now is from the teaching side of it. I love helping people, build their businesses.
Okay. I'm a speaker, and sometimes I wonder, there are so many people that are trying to be speakers, so many people that are working to become speakers, and there are speaking coaches out there, and there are marketing coaches, and sometimes I wonder if there is more money in speaking, or if there is more money in training people how to be speakers, and I'm just... as someone like you who has the knowledge, being able to help other people. Now, I guess the question is training more towards your strengths and more towards your personality, or is sales more your personality? And
The training, the teaching, loving on people, serving in my communities. That's right up my alley. The selling physical products online is something pretty much anybody can do, but I love the success stories, and that keeps me going. And so it's totally my sweet spot, as my friend Dan Miller talks about, which I'm doing something that is within my talent, my skill, and there's a need in the world for it. And so, it's definitely right up my alley.
Okay. Let me just throw this idea out there, and you tell me what your gut reaction is to it, okay?
Sure.
There was a local high school that reached out to me, and they needed someone to teach chemistry, okay? And I have a master's degree in psychology.
Okay.
I took chemistry in high school, and I took one semester in college. But I said, yeah, sure, I can do that if you need me to. And my reasoning was this. The skill set of teaching is something that is kind of more of an intangible. The subject matter that you teach is something that can be dealt with and acquired. What's your reaction to that idea?
Oh, I totally agree with that. I think something that I do really well, and some of my leaders in my group do really well, is taking hard concepts and distilling them down into easy to understand steps. And so to me, that's all I really do. I take some of these hard things, and not that even selling online is that hard, but I just, I know how to distill it down and put it into bite-sized chunks, actionable chunks. So I agree with you that, could I go teach a history class or a chemistry class, even if I didn't know those subjects? I think I could. I'd have to learn a little bit and then figure out a way to put it into my process how I teach, and hopefully people would learn from it. Yeah, but I would agree with that, that it's more about the teaching skill than the actual knowing that subject so well.
Okay. So the question then becomes, you're both at this point with what you're doing. You have the teaching skill, and then you also are a content expert, because you have, not to use to overuse a saying, but you've been there and you've done that. So you have the experience. When you're talking to your groups and you're sharing with them, and someone says, I want to make money online, what are the first things that you're going to suggest to them to say, if you want to make money online, here's where you start?
Yeah, well, there's basically three main ways, overarching ways to do it. I mean, you've been around too, just like I have, and you see there's probably 50,000 different little methods and unique ways, but overarching, I see selling physical products as one, whatever that could be, Amazon, eBay, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, Etsy, print on demand, Amazon merch, Kindle Direct Publishing with books, and that's right up your alley too.
Yep.
Then also teaching somebody something that you're passionate about, you're skilled at, earning money through books, courses, doing a podcast like you and I have. And then the third one I see is coaching and consulting. And that kind of goes with two and three. And so I feel like those are the main ones. There's other little strategies like affiliate marketing and that you can do. For me, there's like the cherry on top. But for somebody who is just say, I want to make money online, the easiest place for somebody to start, if they're not sure about, there's a message on their heart, they're not really sure, they've never really thought about writing a book, or they don't think a course is in their future, then for me, physical products is one of the absolute easiest places to jump into, because literally you can start with items from around your home, build up some cash, and then invest it into other things.
Sure. All right. So let me just reiterate what I heard you say. There are the three things. You can sell physical products, you can sell digital products, and you can sell services.
That kind of boils it down to the what I see is the three main legitimate places I would want to send somebody to.
Okay. So if someone says, I want to sell physical products, and you're talking about doing things, taking things from around their house. Now, I'm assuming you're not like, take your kid. Is it kind of doing starting a virtual garage sale, or
it could be, it literally could be the episode I'm launching that drops tomorrow. They started at finding items around their home that they're not using anymore. Okay. And they listed it, I think, on eBay and Amazon. But it could be Facebook Marketplace listing it there. It listed it on Craigslist. It could be a garage sale. We have people in our community that start at all different places. But one of the easiest, lowest hanging fruit opportunities is things that you're already just sitting around your home that you're not using anymore, or find a friend or relative that has that stuff, do a consignment type deal. But yeah, it could be on multiple places, on any place, but it's just getting that for sale.
Okay. So what's the next level of that? Once you have sold all the stuff around your house that you're no longer using. I'm assuming that, you want to make sure that you don't just replace all of that stuff with more stuff that you're going to just have to sell.
That you're not using.
Right. More, because the way that things work in my house, there's the buy low, sell high. Well, we buy things at the retail price, and then we sell them at the garage sale price. And that's definitely not.
That happens here too.
Right. It's not the way to make money. But no. What is the next step after you to move up from selling things that you have around the house?
Yeah. And that's not even a starting place for everybody. If somebody has a couple hundred dollars to start with, you could go to a thrift store or go to a garage sale. And what's cool about this business is it literally can work with your schedule. You can, if your interest, like I am not a garage sale person, but if you are, there's plenty of ways to earn really good money at those types of things, estate sales. But typically, if somebody's starting with things around their home, then the next level up would be like a thrift store or even retail stores. So people will go shop all the time at Walmarts, Targets, and find things there that they can sell. Or they're doing that online as well, shopping any .com site and looking for opportunities to flip those on a site like Amazon.
Okay. How many levels of this would you say there are before you get to what you were talking about when you're doing wholesale furniture, selling out of your house? Like, What's the progression? I mean, there seems to be a lot of room in there.
Sure. We started a wholesale furniture just because that was our lowest hanging fruit and it was right in front of us. Most people don't start at the wholesale level. So typically it's, people can go anywhere, and I actually have a pyramid that I could send this to you if you wanted to use it as in the show notes or anything, but it's, progression for somebody who has $0 would be items from around your home, or consignment, finding somebody else that has products sitting around there that you can sell for them and split the profits. Up from there would be thrift stores and garage sales. Up from there is called retail arbitrage, going to a store, physical store, finding things. You're using an app on your phone to make wise decisions on what's going to sell. Up from that would be, retail arbitrage could be online or in person. Up from retail arbitrage would be wholesale. And then after that would be private label, where you have your own brand of products.
Okay.
Not everybody goes through that whole progression. Some people start at different levels. Some people start at private label and then add on the arbitrage. There's not really one right or wrong way, but typically people do start in somewhere. I see a lot of people that start with things around their home to earn some cash.
Sure. So I have to say, I had Matt Shalava on, who talked about doing a resale business where he was going around to garage sales. He was doing a lot of stuff with sneakers, and then he was also, it was really early when COVID hit. And so, home workouts became so important, and he found like a local store that had a bunch of, like barbells and dumbbells and he bought them all. It bought them out, literally went and sold all that stuff on eBay and made a killing. Although, the good news is that whoever was buying it had to pay for shipping on it, because like you're buying dumbbells and the shipping on that's got to be crazy.
Astronomical. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So then another area that you talked about is the virtual products. I think, can you tell me a little bit about how that works? Because some people are going to say like the selling thing is not really my jam. Let's look at other ways to do this.
Yeah. I mean, there's just like, I think talk to the person who, is there a message on your heart? Have you thought for what are people coming to you for advice for? What are they, what are they asking you about? What would you say? No, most people don't feel like they're experts, but as you say, I was reading your about section of your podcast, everybody is an expert in something and could teach other people. And you don't have to be the world's foremost expert on speaking, but you know, you just need to know more than the people you're teaching. So think about just something that people come to you for advice for, a message that's been on your heart. For you, Rob, that could be, you know, you could teach people how to have a speaking business. How do you get those gigs? How do you get, how do you find those opportunities? How do you craft a speech? All that is types of things that people would pay money to learn how to do. And so what is that for you guys? Tell, you know, think about what's that message that you feel like you could share. And because there are people out there that will pay you for that.
Yeah. Well, and it's okay. When you have that thing on your heart, or when you say, you know what, people ask me about this a lot. I'll admit this. And that is sometimes I don't feel like an expert. I just feel like this is little old me and my little doing my little old thing. And like, I don't have tremendous knowledge. Like, this is what I learned from doing what I do. And what I have to come to realize is that the people who started off where I started off are saying, you may not be an expert in your own eyes. It may be all being self-taught, but you know more than I do. And if you wouldn't mind sharing your knowledge with me,
that experience is so valuable.
Yes. So, for somebody who says, okay, I've got a couple things that people ask me about, what are the different areas? Like, how do you become either a teacher or a coach or something? And I guess coaching is in that third area of what we were talking about.
Sure, but I think it plays together. I think the two and the something that you're passionate about and that becomes a course or a book could also be something that you have a coaching program on. I think those kind of come together. And sometimes I'll say that there's two main ways to make money online. There's so many different ways to do it. Books, courses, speaking like you do, one-on-one coaching, mastermind groups, live events. And so I just tell people, pick something. Like, what is the, seems like it's going to be the easiest place for you to get started. If that's writing a book, do that. If that's just coming up with a lead magnet, like you could have a lead magnet. It's like, you know, the five, places that I go to get speaking opportunities, or the places on the internet that are where I'm doing the research. It just could be a PDF download. Get something out there, or go into, it really comes down to finding your audience. Who is your audience? What are they looking for? And so one thing I teach is to find Facebook groups that have your audience in them and just go and start serving those people, answer questions. Pretty soon people see you as the expert. Right. And they're going to stalk you on Facebook. They're going to look for you. So that's where you have an opportunity to have your lead magnet at the top of your Facebook so they can grab it and you'll get an email lead. But you just go serve that audience and opportunities will come. It'll come to you. You'll figure out like, okay, it seems like, you know, this route is the best way to serve this community, or no, a course is, or maybe just if you already are known in an area by your friends, just put out there, hey, I feel like I need to do some one-on-one coaching. Who's interested? Just put it out there and you could start a one-on-one coaching business pretty quickly. And what's cool about all these opportunities, Rob, is they don't cost anything to get started.
Yeah. Well, so it very, very much like what you're talking about with getting started in the product world by looking at things that you already have going on around the house, getting started in the virtual product world starts with what is the knowledge that you already have? What are the skill sets that you already have? And who can benefit from those?
Exactly.
I'll throw out a quick tip, and that is when it comes to podcasting, someone had this idea and I thought it was a brilliant idea. And that is when you find the Facebook groups, find out who the administrator of the Facebook group is, have them on your podcast.
Yes.
And they will then represent you as the expert to the people in their groups, which is,
They'll talk about it. If I had a Facebook group and somebody has me on a podcast like this one, I'm going to say, I'm actually, after you launch this episode, you're probably going to send me something that I can share with my audience.
Absolutely.
Because I want to share that I've been on a podcast. That's cool for me. And what's great about that for you is that other people will listen to this episode because of me. They know me, but then they're going to love your style. Like, oh, let's go check out all of his other episodes. And so you just earned, new listeners.
Yeah, so it's a very cool thing in which simple tip on how to increase your reach and your audience. And so, all right. And the last thing that we had talked about is a little bit of the service side. And you really, I think that you kind of covered that in saying that the virtual products and the services kind of go hand in hand and are almost interchangeable. Do you have anything else that you want to add just on that service side piece?
Just say it's kind of the difference between a done for you being like the service side, let me do your website for you. That's a service. Whereas a done with you or do it yourself would be like, I have a course on how to build a beautiful website and a mentoring community, a memberships community where people are paying you to learn more about building beautiful websites or starting a website business. Whereas the done for you would be the service side where I'll do it for you. So no, that's pretty much it. But those do kind of go hand in hand.
All right. So I think we touched on this a little bit, but when it comes to places to sell your physical products, do you have any suggestion? I mean, I'm assuming there's the mainstays, which are Amazon and eBay. And if they're handmade, I guess Etsy. Do you have other suggestions or are there other ways to find kind of niche audiences who would be more interested in certain types of products?
Yeah, absolutely. So it really depends on the product. So if it's the actual physical products that you're going to hold, not a digital product like a digital download or something, Amazon's the beast. You know, it has the most eyeballs. But Walmart is another one that most people don't know. You can actually sell your products on Walmart. You can be a third-party seller on Walmart. So we have a lot of students that are selling the exact same things on Walmart as they are Amazon now. And it's just another opportunity. It doesn't have, they're not getting as many sales on Walmart yet. Some of them have gone all in on Walmart and are doing fantastic there, but that is another opportunity.
Yeah. And I will tell you that sometimes I find I can get better deals on walmart.com than I can on Amazon, which I am woke to the walmart.com and I love it. And I've learned now as a shopper to do comparison shopping between the two, because so many times you can, so very, very interesting. Okay. Yeah. And besides the Facebook groups for the virtual products and for the services, do you have some other suggestions as to identifying your, but I guess maybe let me ask this. I'm going to back up for a second. Do you have some suggestions on how to identify who your target market is to kind of build out who is it that I'm actually trying to sell to?
Yeah. So for most of us, it seems like it kind of starts with somebody that looks like us. So like you might start thinking about, I mean, if you're a woman, you might identify more with a woman and they're going to gravitate to you more and you're going to be able to serve them, you know, better. But I would just start, you know, start there, start with the person that is like you, because that's the type of person that is going to look at you and be like, you know what? She did it. He did it. I feel like I can do it. 'Cause he's like me. He's from the same area as me. He's from the same part of the world as me. He's about the same age as me. He's got the same number of kids. We don't really know why certain people follow us. For me, it's a lot of my faith. Okay. I attract a lot of people that are Christians as well. It's not because I'm out there and saying, hey, you can only follow me if you're a Christian. No, not at all. But I usually do a large portion of my audience are believers. And so that's just because that's who I am and we attract who we are. So just find those people, just start interacting with them. And pretty quickly, you guys are going to learn like, no, this is not really my audience, but over here is, these are my people. Like they're asking the questions that I can answer. And I just feel like I can really serve them better.
It's so very interesting that, you know, it is sometimes people kind of have the view of there's work and there's faith and like ne'er the twain shall meet or something, you know, that they're opposite or they're just two tracks, right? The train has to run. You need two tracks to run on and they just, but when you find that sometimes there's a convergence and it's because when you're selling services and like that, you're partially selling yourself. And when people identify with you and there's something about you that resonates with them, they are much more willing to buy from you because they recognize like this is a person that's like me. And because of that, I'm more willing to trust them.
True.
Excellent. Let me highlight one other thing you said. You talked about the fact that you are serving them. That sounds really different than saying I am convincing them to buy my product, to buy my service. You're saying I'm serving them. Can you talk to me about the difference between selling and serving?
I think they're kind of the same to me. Selling is serving to me. If I don't, I don't think sometimes people, if you think you hear the word selling, you think of some sleazy used car salesman or something. They're trying to convince you to buy this car that's not really a fit for you. I'm just, I so believe in the opportunities that I'm talking about, because and it's because of what it's done for my life and other people, other students of mine, husbands that have been able to come home because of an Amazon business. That blows my mind. There's so many success stories like that. So I don't even have to sell it anymore. It's just like, look at Kate and Nate Chaddick, and Nate was the home school teacher, and he was able to come home because of the business they had built together. And now they work at full time and they get to do things with their family, go on trips. So I just tell stories, and those that are attracted to it are going to join. And those that don't feel like it's a fit, I don't even want them to do it, because I want people who I feel like it's a fit both ways.
Sure. And I guess here's how it appeals to me. And I'll be interested to get your reaction to this. Okay. And that is, when you are selling, so many times you have sales numbers and you've got the sales metrics and you're measuring things, and you're measuring them literally in dollars and cents. Uh-huh. And so everything comes down to the dollar, and dollars are what I take home at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So to me, selling oftentimes is much more about what I get out of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas serving is much more about what is the pain point of my client. What is the problem that I am solving for them? And as I assist them, there is a benefit in it from me, But it's got to start with the consumer. It's got to start with the client. Yes. It's got to start with the person that's on the receiving end of my services.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Rabbi Daniel Lappin calls them dollars certificates of appreciation. And so, but there are people that come at it from the other side where it's about the dollars, and you can tell those folks they don't feel like they're in it for your best interest as a buyer. And so if you sincerely, it's because you and I, we both sincerely, why would you even be doing a podcast if you don't care about your audience? We care about these people that we're talking to. And we do want to serve them. We want to give them the opportunity. And yes, some of them are going to listen to our podcast and never give us a dollar. I don't care. That's totally fine. But those that want to go deeper will. And that is what pays our bills. Yes. And those are the people that get the results, because they are taking action. And I would totally 100% agree with you that if you put those people first, then what you get is a reward of, yes, they're like, I will gladly give you my money in exchange for this, because I want to change. They're buying into you, but also they're buying that result that they want.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And I love, they're buying into you, but they're buying into what they can become with your assistance.
Correct.
And yeah, I love
exactly.
It. Listen, Ryan, you've been fantastic. If people are looking to learn more about you, learn more about your book, your courses, your groups, where's the best way to do that?
Yeah, probably just my website, ryanrieger.com. Learn about the courses that are there. You can get my book, Streams of Income, for free there, the digital download version, or you can get a copy mailed to you. That's where I'd point them to start, and email me too. I read every single one of my emails and respond to them, ryan@ryanrieger.com. I love those conversations.
Absolutely. So I will put the link to your website, the link to your book, and maybe a couple of your social media links all in the show notes, so that people can connect with you and learn more about what you're doing. And here's what the beautiful thing is. Build that relationship in which they're saying, you know what, I've got a goal that I want to reach, and maybe Ryan can help me, guide me to where I want to be so I can do what I want to do with my life. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Ryan, thank you so much. It is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
Let's do it.
Okay. In the summer, would you rather go to the beach or go camping?
Oh, the beach for sure. I'm not a camper.
Okay. And any particular beach?
Oh man. My wife and I have been really loving the, We love the coast of California. That's probably our absolute favorite. But with everything going on, we haven't been back to California in a long time. So we've been twice over the last year to that 30A area of Florida. It's between Destin and Pensacola. There's a lot of really cute towns. Okay. And it's really, really popular. So it's very busy in the summer, which we wouldn't go in the summer. But that's one of our favorites now.
Beautiful. What is your favorite board game? I don't know if your family
board game.
Yeah.
We're not huge board game players, although my wife would love us to be. So growing up, I'd have to probably go back to I loved Trivial Pursuit when I was a kid. That still would be fun to play. And we also love Monopoly too.
Okay. I love it. All right. Last question for you. Pie. Okay. Pies. Are cold pies okay? Or do pies need to be something that can potentially be warmed and put a little bit of ice cream on them? What's your opinion?
I've ever had. Oh, a cold pie. I've had like the French silk, those kind of things, but I prefer a warm pie with like melted ice cream on top.
Okay. What kind of pie and what kind of ice cream?
Oh man. I like apple pie with the vanilla. I also really like strawberry rhubarb pie.
Okay.
That's something I hadn't had in a long time, but I like the tartness of the rhubarb. I like about any fruit pie.
So I have to tell you, this is a quick story about pie and ice cream. My best friend when I was growing up, his mom actually had a berry patch in their backyard, and she made homemade berry pies with berries from her backyard. Okay.
Wow.
It was amazing. And it was, you would get them and they weren't rewarmed. They were warm because they had just come out of the oven. And she would ask, do you want ice cream on that? And be like, absolutely. What do you have? And she'd be like, we have orange sherbet. And I'm like, Nick, can't. No. And she'd be like,
that's not even ice cream.
Right. We have Rocky Road, or like we have Bing Cherry ice cream. And it's like, no, there is one answer and one answer only. The answer is it's vanilla ice cream. That's the only thing that goes on pie. Absolutely. Anything else is an abomination.
That's right. You probably would, if you had a guest say orange sherbet, you say, well, sorry, we're not even going to air this episode.
Yes. So very cool. Ryan Rieger, thank you so much for being here today. Ron, I appreciate the time. It's been very insightful. To all my listeners, I appreciate you and will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.